Brilliant novels, groundbreaking nonfiction, evocative poetry, great books, and insightful conversations whenever you want them on the Talk of Iowa Book Club podcast. Pick the books that speak to you or read them all. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In early August 2020, Linn County was hit hard by a derecho, the kind of extreme weather that has become more and more common as we experience the effects of climate change. In late August, Linn County's first ever sustainability program manager started work. The County Board of Supervisors hired Tamara Marcus as part of the county's plan to address climate change and environmental sustainability. Now, after nearly 6 months on the job, she is on the line with us today. Hello, Tamara.
Hi, good afternoon.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And what a way to start work. I know that your job was in the works. You were already planning to start work in August before the derecho hit. But then to have a storm of that magnitude hit right before you began, what was your response?
Yeah, I think as most, it was just kind of a response of shock. Nothing like this had happened to Cedar Rapids or Linn County. And so trying to figure out how to deal with it was just a challenge, I think, for really everyone. And I think when I first started this position, kind of what I thought I would be tasked with was more focused around our greenhouse gas inventory work. But about a week after the derecho is when I actually started. And so kind of really shifted focus on what I was working on at the county in my early days and now even up until this point.
So your job description as a sustainability program manager, you're not the only one in Iowa. However, you're the first one in Linn County, and it's kind of a new position for any county to have. When you were hired, tell me a little bit about what you did think you'd be doing.
Yeah, so in December 2019, Linn County passed the climate resolution, which declared a climate crisis. And so what that did was really commit the county to the greenhouse gas emission reductions kind of outlined in the Paris Agreement. And so some of those include, 45% reduction in CO2 by 2030, completely zero emissions by 2050, and really kind of mapped a path towards reaching some of those climate goals that we've talked about nationally, but trying to take action at the local level.
Once the derecho hit, of course, a lot of people were just trying to figure out how to get enough to eat and fix their homes in the wake of that, or even find a new home in the wake of that. But suddenly, I can imagine that climate change was really on the minds of a lot more people in Linn County than it had been on before. What has public response been like to your position and the beginning of your work?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that you say that, because I think that for me, especially in the early months, I think that connection between climate change and the derecho event wasn't quite as clear for a lot of people. I know that, we Cedar Rapidians know about the flood of 2008, and 2016. And I think we kind of have this understanding of how that is tied to climate change, but the derecho is something that no one really even knew was a thing. So that connection, especially in the beginning, I don't know if it was as clear, but over time, I'm thankful that it is, because, this is, when we think about, the impact of climate change, this is exactly what it is. I think people tend to think of it as some kind of far off, far away, doesn't really touch our lives. But, to go through three pretty major catastrophic, historical, record-breaking weather events and the matter of, less than two decades is pretty eye-opening, I think, or should be eye-opening for our community, because, even at the root of it, they're expensive to respond to. And so when you think about climate adaptation and the work that goes along with it, some people might not put that at the front of their mind, but in reality, climate change is impacting our lives now and every day. And so the sooner we act on it, the sooner we can build stronger and more resilient communities.
Have you run into any resistance to your work in Linn County? People who don't believe that climate change is real and don't believe that that should be part of your role?
Yeah, there are certainly people, you know, so my background is a climate scientist. I've been studying climate change for over 10 years now. I'm currently a PhD candidate in an earth science program. So, you know, this is something that I've thought about for a long time and very in-depthly. And so, you know, I think that is a level of privilege, honestly, that a lot of people don't have access to. So there definitely is opposition to this concept of climate change and resistance to even so-called believing in it. And I think it's important that those of us who do understand why it's such an important issue also step back and think about how we got there. You know, it's not readily clear to a lot of people who are worried about things like food security or housing security or health, right? Like why we should care about this issue. So I think just stepping back and being a bit humble and you know, our own understanding and privilege that has allowed us to put this, you know, at the forefront of our minds goes a long way to kind of pulling in those people who might be resistant to investing in some of this work.
Well, and speaking of the idea that climate change is something that's happening far away, or it's just melting the polar ice caps, but it doesn't affect us here in Iowa. I mean, you have studied climate change around the world as a Fulbright scholar. You spent 2 years studying climate change in India. So bring this to our local level here in Iowa. Where do you see climate change?
Yeah, so definitely in these extreme weather events is probably the most visually obvious one. I would say, you know, for warming temperatures, right, so both in the summer as well as the winter, you know, less snow, less larger snow events, less time of frozen water. There's a number of clues, I guess, to the impact that this changing climate is having on our ecosystems, and that, again, is more than just for those who, for example, like to hunt. You know, that impacts, you know, when the season and how successful, how many, you know, deer you can actually get for the season, right? So trying to, again, make that connection to the impacts of climate change to people who might not be thinking about it as much is really important. And kind of, you know, along with that, for some of the communities who are most impacted by the derecho event, for example, and also tend to be impacted by natural disasters, just generally speaking, in a disproportionate way. You know, I think it's important for us to contextualize those impacts on, you know, on our communities, right? Because I hear a lot of, you know, everyone experienced the derecho event, right? And that is very true. Everyone had some kind of damage, some kind of impact from that event. But if we look at, you know, who is hardest hit and who is still recovering and what that recovery looks like long term, that is very different. And so now you start to get into this realm of environmental justice and climate justice. And so, again, when we're thinking about climate change, climate adaptation, we have to also consider, you know, these social and racial injustices that are ever present in our community and how we're going to use climate action to really address them and combat them and make a system that is not only resilient, but also just.
In December, just a month ago, Linn County passed a new climate resolution, and a big portion of that is identifying vulnerable communities and making that link between social justice and climate change. So tell me a little bit more about how you see that in action, or hope to see that in action in Linn County.
Yeah, absolutely. So the 2020 climate resolution is really building on that 2019 resolution, which, while it committed the county to, you know, aggressive climate action, didn't really map out how we would get there. So the goal of this resolution was really to identify, you know, communities that are disproportionately impacted. So some of those, you know, include people of color, refugee and immigrant communities, elderly and disabled, rural communities, and really tying somewhat disparate, seemingly disparate communities together, right? And also really allowing or providing a foundation for those communities to lead that change within their neighborhoods, within their households, So it's not the county telling you what to do or, you know, government telling you what to do, but providing a supportive foundation for us to all collaboratively get there together.
One of your first objectives in this position is completing a greenhouse gas inventory in Linn County. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so again, with that 2019 resolution, a lot of that is focused around emission reduction, so carbon emission reduction. But to measure that, we need to know where we currently are. And so a greenhouse gas inventory allows us to assess the commercial, the residential, and the industrial emissions coming from Linn County so we can begin to start to track our progress in reaching those emission reduction goals. So we're actually doing it for all of Linn County. So there's a number of municipalities as well as the unincorporated area that we need to look at. So it really is just right now at this point a lot of data, data diving, reaching out to, utility companies, waste agencies to try and get data from our baseline year of 2010. This is still not only new to the county and our department, but also for a lot of these agencies that we've been working with, right? Because they don't necessarily keep track of this data or don't have a system to get it. And so it's a lot of back and forth of, hey, we need this. Actually, this isn't quite right. Part of the system is also working to develop a way where we can streamline this for future years. So it becomes a lot easier to get that data and, again, measure our progress in reaching those emission reductions.
Well, and all right, measuring progress, what do you hope to be able to use this information for? This is where a lot of people start to get nervous and think, oh, somebody's going to tell me I can't drive my car or something like that. So how do you hope to use this information?
Yeah, so I mean, some of it is looking at, the low-hanging fruit. If there's to be able to identify, inefficiencies within our transportation system, for example, that could be a way to kind of key in on behavior tendencies, right? So even think about, for example, people who maybe they drive their car every day to work. So what incentives can we offer people who choose to bike? Or, how can we create a more efficient transportation system? So that's kind of where we aim to kind of identify kind of those easy changes to make and again, how we can support those at a policy level.
When President Trump took office in 2016 and announced that the United States was going to pull out of the Paris Climate Accord, a lot of municipalities around the country decided that they had to be proactive about climate change. If the federal government wasn't going to be, they were going to be. And now here we are in 2021 with a new president who is making climate change a priority. So you are in a very different political environment than you were 5 months ago or 6 months ago when you started work. How does that change your work?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, that day, that moment was really memorable for me in terms of, kind of my journey in climate science and being, a climate science communicator. I was actually at a conference with 50 other climate scientists from Australia, Sweden, the U.S., people from around the world who are working in the Arctic. That's where my PhD work is. And we were having a normal meeting, planning our next kind of year of research and work. And I actually left the room at that time to watch Trump remove the U.S. from the Paris Agreement. And I just remember thinking when I went back into that room, I kind of told everyone there, this just happened. Some grumbles and, frustrations, as you might expect for people who had devoted their lives to this work. But no kind of conversation about how we could play a role in getting the U.S. to where we thought we needed to be, or even acknowledging our role as scientists in not creating this line of communication with average people. Since then, I still focus on my climate change research, but equally important is this communication piece, you know, and thinking about how we can get people to believe in this, to be supportive of it, who might not see how it connects to their lives. So to answer your question, for sure having, you know, a president who's supportive of climate change is important. But I also think that the biggest change happens locally. And I'm really interested in supporting Linn County and the people who live here and figuring out how we do that together in a way that makes sense and works for us.
Well, I think a lot of people, when they learn about climate change, and I think about young people in particular, when they learn about it, it's overwhelming and it's discouraging and it feels too big for any of us. You know, I know in talking with young people, I've often heard the, I can't make a difference. How can I, what can I do that actually impacts climate change? And it sounds like you have been really galvanized to work at that local level. So what's the message for people about what we can do, the power that we might have against this giant force?
Yeah, I mean, that you hit the nail right on the head. You know, this, to me, that's one of the greatest tragedies of our time, is this belief that what we do as individuals doesn't matter. You know, and it's like there's some kind of cheesy meme or quote, or, you know, one straw doesn't matter to 8 billion people. So just thinking about how, you know, you can't control the federal government, really. You can't control the local government. Really, the only control we have is what we choose to do. And so believing that that matters is critical in this movement, you know, and that goes for also what we believe in, what matters to us. So making our voices heard, yeah, during elections when we vote, but also, you know, reaching out to your elected officials year round and telling them, you know, I care about this. You should too, because that's what they're here to do. They're here to serve us and represent, you know, our objectives and our priorities, right? And so again, just feeding into or supporting and believing that what we do at an individual level does matter and does make a difference just has to be, you know, the first kind of step in accomplishing anything in this movement.
Tamara Marcus, thank you so much for talking with me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Tamara Marcus is the first ever sustainability program manager for Linn County. The County Board of Supervisors hired her as part of their plan to address climate change and environmental sustainability. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.